I'll find it, Eve said. But it's for executives, the brunette said as Eve turned away. Eve merely held up her badge again, kept walking. I really love that part, Peabody said. I'm a little ashamed, but I can't help it. They passed doors, both opened and closed, busy hives of cubes, turned the corner, passed a staff lounge with vending and a couple sofas, a wall screen scrolling through ads. Things quieted through the next set of doors. Eve nodded at yet one more set. Odds are, she said, and strode to them, pulled them open. Laughter poured out. On the wall screen, a golfer teed off on the 11th hole under sunny skies on a course green as Ireland. Around the room, men, but for a lone woman who looked bored and annoyed, sat or stood with drinks in hand. J.J. Copley stood in front of the screen, teeing up just as his CGI counterpart. Handsome and fit in shirt sleeves and loosened tie, he swung. On screen, his avatar perfectly mirrored the move and sent the little white ball soaring over a sand trap, over a sparkling blue pond, and onto the edge of the 11th green. Raucous applause ensued. And that's how it's done. Grinning, he turned toward another fit and handsome man holding a club, then spotted Eve. Ladies, can I redirect you? Copley? John Jake? Guilty? Well, that makes it easy. Eve took out her badge again. You have the right to remain silent. Whoa! He laughed, but this time a little nervous around the edges. What's all this about? Murder, Eve said flatly. Trey Ziegler. Oh, right. Damn shame. I'd be happy to sit down with you in, say, 30. We're in a strategy session. Yeah, I can see that. Now works for me. Does now work for you, Detective Peabody? Yes, sir, it does. This room works, too, but then so does Central. Yeah. Eve stared into Copley's eyes. Either way. Fine, then, fine. Never let it be said I didn't cooperate with the boys or girls in blue. Fellas, give me the room for a few minutes. Guys, oh, and Marta, I need the room. We'll take this up as soon as I'm finished. Eve watched the lone woman shoot Copley a look of cool dislike before she filed out with the rest. Have a seat. What can I get you? Answers. No problem there. He dropped down onto a black sofa. It looked like we were goofing off, but the fact is we represent the company and the spokesman for the games. A new set of interactive sports games and training vids they hope to launch next spring. We're working in tandem with the ad company on a smooth launch. You gotta know the product to rep the product. Sure. Tell me about your relationship with Trey Ziegler. He was my personal trainer. Damn good one, too. I worked with him at my gym. Buff bodies. And outside of the gym. We played golf a couple of times. He loved the game. He and my brother-in-law and I played a few times. Treated him to a round, some drinks, that sort of thing. When was the last time you were in his apartment? Why would I go to his apartment? You tell me. I never went there. No reason to. He was a damned good trainer. Worked you until you wanted to cry like a girl. Gave a good massage, too. Pretty good golfer. But we weren't buddies, if that's what you mean. He rose, walked to the wet bar, poured himself a tall glass of water, squeezed a lemon slice into it. Sure. He tipped the glass right and left. Yes. When was the last time you saw or spoke to him? I guess it would have been Monday morning. Regular session with him at the gym. I actually had one scheduled yesterday, but they tagged me, told me he'd been killed. That was a shocker, Copley added, drank deep. Did he ever ask you for money? Hit you for a loan? Money? Copley drank again, slid one hand into his pocket, jiggled whatever he carried in there. No. I always slipped him some extra after a massage, but he never had his hand out. Look, I liked the guy. He was a good trainer, so I liked working with him. I gave him a couple perks. Golf at the club, like that. We had some laughs on the course. That's it. Did he ever contact you at home? At your office? What for? I'm asking you. I don't remember anything like that. I'd see him a couple times a week at the gym. A couple times at the club when either I or Lance, my sister-in-law's husband, set it up. Maybe once a week I'd get a massage from him. That's it. Are you nervous, Mr. Copley? The cops are talking to me about a guy I knew that was killed, so, yeah, some. Plus, I've got work waiting. I can't tell you anything about what happened to Ziegler, so... If there's more, you should go through my lawyer. We'll keep it smooth that way. Is that it? For now. Eve started for the door. Oh, you mentioned your brother-in-law. But you didn't mention your wife also used the deceased as a trainer and a massage therapist. So what? Interesting. Leaving it at that, Eve started out. She walked down the wide hallway again, through the doors, glanced at Peabody. He's lying. Oh, yeah, he is. Chapter 9. She wanted Copley in the box, Eve thought, but knowing in her gut he was lying didn't equal proof. The minute she tapped him, he'd lawyer up. She didn't begrudge him legal representation. Rules were rules for reasons. But a lawyer was bound to block and dodge her questions, see she was on a fishing expedition. But Copley was lying, and there was damn well a reason for that, too. We dig, she told Peabody, as they took the elevator up from the garage at Central. We dig on Copley until we find enough to stand on, then we bring him in. He's not going to talk to us again without a lawyer, so we find some holes. She checked her wrist unit for time as a couple of uniforms pulled in a heroically drunk Santa who looked and smelled like he'd spent some time rolling around in reindeer dung. Really? You couldn't take that up the stairs a couple flights to the drunk tank? Gotta take him up to sex crimes, Lieutenant. Hey, little girl! Drunk Santa sent Eve a bleary smile. I got what you want for Christmas right here. He grabbed his crotch, pumped his hips, then spread open a slit and the dirty red pants to reveal an unfortunately grimy penis. That, the uniform finished. I like 'em naughty, Santa exclaimed, then broke fantastic wind. Oh, for Christ's sake! Somebody crack a window, Santa suggested, and added, ho, ho, ho! Eve did better. She leaped off the elevator on the next floor, one short step in front of Peabody. Before the door shut, she heard Santa bellow, Merry Christmas to all, right before the gagging noises. I think that was alive. Cautiously, Peabody sniffed at her own sleeve. We may need detox. Uniforms don't get paid enough. Nobody gets paid enough around here. Send a departmental memo. Nobody rides in that car for a month. That should be about long enough. I'm not kidding, she added when Peabody laughed. On it. Meanwhile, back to murder. We dig on Copley. His business, his marriage, his finances, any priors, no matter how minor, His politics, his religion, his favorite fucking color, everything. You think maybe Ziegler was blackmailing him? It's possible, Eve said, as she and Peabody stepped onto a glide. It's just as possible his wife's fling with Ziegler wasn't as discreet as she thinks. Let's get a couple of uniforms over to Ziegler's building with a shot of Copley. Maybe we'll find somebody who saw him visit Ziegler's apartment. We just need to find one lie to deepen the hole. He struck me as too weeny. Shit, I wish I hadn't said weeny, because it makes me think of that sick pervert's weeny. Do we smell like drunk Santa fart? If we did, people would be diving off this glide like lemmings. You're right. Still, Peabody took another cautious sniff of her sleeve. We escaped in time. I need a replacement for the W word. Copley struck me as too wussy. There, a W for a W. Wussies kill, too. Eve stepped off the glide, headed for homicide. He finds out his wife's been doing the trainer. He thinks, that asshole's fucking my wife, laughing at me behind my back. I'm paying him, and he's doing my wife. I took him golfing at my club, for Christ's sake. Who the fuck does he think he is? He'd be pissed, Peabody agreed. Anybody'd be pissed. He goes to Ziegler's place to confront him. Or maybe, if he really is a wuss, he goes to plead with Ziegler to break it off. Either way, why wouldn't Ziegler let him in? Hey, man, I'm packing, but come on back. What's up? Copley says, you've been banging my wife. It has to stop. Maybe. And maybe Ziegler starts off denying. Maybe not, Eve speculated. Maybe he pushes for money. Just providing a service. I can stop the service, but you have to make up the fee. Simple business transaction. Ziegler's not worried about this guy. Hell, he's the trainer. Your wife was happy to pay. So if you don't want me providing the service, cough it up. And Copley snaps. Bash, bash. Maybe, Eve said as they turned into the bullpen. Someone had added a dented menorah to the decor. It stood on a bed of virulent greenery she suspected was supposed to be pine boughs. Beside it stood a sickly gray figure in a Santa suit, grinning viciously. What the hell is that? She demanded. Santiago glanced up from his work. It's Zombie Santa. We're trying to be inclusive. They make zombie Santas? Who thinks of things like that? Shaking her head at all mankind, she strode to her office. It surprised her to find Feeney studying her board. The EDD captain, her former trainer and partner, wore a rumpled suit the color of reindeer dung, Eve decided. Wiry silver strands poked through his explosion of ginger hair like carelessly tossed tinsel. Like the suit, his face had a rumpled, lived-in look. His eyes might have resembled a basset hound's, but they were cop-sharp as he scanned her photos, timelines, data. Your Vic was an asshole. Completely, she agreed, walking straight to her auto chef to program two coffees, strong and black. Lead suspect, as of now, is this guy. She brought up Copley's ID shot after passing Feeney coffee. One of the Vic's regular clients. Turns out the Vic was banging his wife twice a week for the last few weeks, for a side fee. She claims the husband didn't know. Feeney gave the coffee a surface blow, drank. It's hard to hide regular banging. Damn right. Pleased to have him to bounce around the speculations, she eased a hip onto the corner of her desk. Rough patch, the wife claims. Separate bedrooms for a while. No sex for a while's a rough patch. Separate bedrooms is a crater. Yeah? He eyed her. How long you been married now? Couple years. Take my word. You can climb out of a crater, but it's harder than riding out a rough patch. She claims they climbed out, mostly, and are working on the rest of the way. But if he finds out she got naked with their mutual trainer, it's off the cliff for the marriage. You didn't tell him? Not yet. We ran the basics with him, and he was nervous, and he was lying. Something more there. Something with a Vic he's hiding. So he's top of my list right now. Smashed his head in, hauled the body onto the bed, then put a knife in the chest. With a ho-ho-ho. Like Feeney, she studied the crime scene shot, drank coffee. The last's a kind of rage, isn't it? She said. A cold one. The smash-bash, that strikes me as hot, but the flourish, it takes cold blood. Copley could fit. A liar's one thing, a nervous one's another. You could shake it out. Yeah, but he's already brought up the L word. I'm gonna do some digging on him, let him settle. His business is a boys' club. Feeney's shaggy eyebrows rose. He works with kids? No, big public relations firm, but he runs it like a boys' club, on the exec level at least. One woman in the meeting I broke up today, and she didn't look real happy with him. I think he's an asshole, but I have to ask myself if I'd just like to find an asshole killer for my asshole Vic. She shrugged, sipped coffee, studied her board. He had a lot of clients, used a lot of women. The killing field's a big one. Somebody who needed to put a sticker in a dead guy is gonna break at some point. That's what I think, too. I need to be there when it happens. He nodded, and for a moment or two they drank their coffee, studied death in companionable silence. The wife's all over me to wear a monkey suit tomorrow. Eve frowned, shifted her thought process. Why? How the hell do I know? You're female. Why do women like men dressed up in monkey suits? I don't, especially. Tell me this, he pointed at her. Is Rourke putting on a monkey suit for this shindig tomorrow? No. I don't know. For unexplained reasons, she had a moment of panic. How would I know? You live with him. I live with me, too, and I don't even know what I'm wearing tomorrow. But Rourke would, she thought. Jesus, was she supposed to know what he was wearing? Was that another damn marriage rule? Did he wear one last year? How was she supposed to remember? But she tried. I don't think so. I can ask him not to, if that helps you out. Do that. You do that. With a righteous nod, Feeney smoothed a hand down his wrinkled jacket. Bad enough to have to get all fancied up without that. Tell me, she said with feeling. I'm the one who'll have to have glop all over my face while I walk around on stilts. What you get for being female? It's not right. The wife likes the fancy and the stilts. Looks good on her, too. Anyway, he scratched at his ear. Anyway, I'm gonna tell you she made you guys a bowl in her pottery class. It's not bad. Doesn't even wobble. Much. Ah, that was nice of her, Eve said cautiously. I figure how many bowls can somebody use, but that's not something you say when you're married to somebody who keeps making them. Unless you want to hit a rough patch. I get it. So I got this. He reached into the inside pocket of his ugly jacket, took out a small, slim square wrapped in shiny red paper. Oh, Eve said when he shoved it at her. She was lousy at giving gifts. She was worse at getting them. I didn't want to give it over tomorrow with the party and the people and all that. Okay. Thanks. After an awkward pause, she deduced she was meant to open it on the spot. She pulled off the paper, crumpled it, shot it into her recycler. She lifted the lid, just stared. Small reproductions of the medals she and Rourke had been awarded the month before floated inside clear glass. Etched beneath each were their names, the award, and the date presented. This is... Her throat closed up on her. A lot, she managed. This is a lot. I figured you could put it somewhere you could take a look at when the job gets heavy. Maybe not here. It's a little like bragging if you put it in here. Yeah. It should be at home. It's Rourke's, too. The highest honor given a cop. There was a light in his voice that had her throat clogging on her. The highest given a civilian. I was real proud of both of you. She struggled for composure before she risked looking up at him. That's a lot, too. Can't get a little sentimental at Christmas, when can you? Well, he gave her a light punch on the arm, settled them both. I gotta get back. No monkey suit, he reminded her. I'll tell him. Thanks, Feeny. She stayed where she was when he walked out, ran her fingertip over her name, over Rourke's. She looked up at her board, at the image of Trey Ziegler propped in bed, that mocking note pinned to his chest with a kitchen knife. You were an asshole, Ziegler. A user, a whore, a rapist. I wish you were alive so I could toss you in a cage, but since you're dead, you're gonna get the best I've got. Carefully, she put the lid back on the box, set it aside. She sat down with what was left of her coffee and went to work. Nearly 2 hours later, she programmed another cup of coffee, drank it standing at her skinny window looking out at the hustle-bustle of New York. She heard the clomp of Peabody's boots, didn't bother to turn. It gets dark so damn early. We just passed the solstice, so the days are starting to get longer. It takes too damn long. Copley looks ordinary. Parents divorced, half-sib on the father's side, average student, little ding on possession right out of college. That would probably have gone away if he hadn't mouthed off to the cops. Traffic tickets, and I dug into those a little. He went to court on every one of them, and in two cases ended up paying an extra fine for mouthing off to the judge. So some temper there, some righteousness, some assholey behavior. Nothing violent. I didn't find anything there either, Peabody said. First marriage lasted 4 years. No record of domestic disputes, but he sure filed a lot of papers on the ex. The split probably cost him 3 times what it would have if he hadn't kept pushing the buttons. Still, she had more money than he did, and no prenup, so he fought his way to a bigger chunk than he might have gotten. Intrigued, Eve turned. I hadn't looked at Marriage One yet, but Quigley's rolling in it. His income's a fraction of hers. There's a prenup, bet your ass. Second marriage for both, yeah, she covered herself. It might be interesting to get a peek at the terms of that one. She's the admitted cheater. It seems to me he'd make out bigger, considering. It doesn't mean she's the only one who cheated. Peabody pursed her lips. Hadn't gone there. I did take a first pass at his financials. I didn't see anything out of line. Nothing to indicate he's stepping out, unless he's doing it on the cheap. No hotel bills in the city. No second rent going out, no personal travel that doesn't jibe with the wife's, and no withdrawals that say blackmail. He'd have an expense account. That's worth a look. And maybe, having married a second time to a woman with money, he learned something about socking money away. She'd see if Rourke wanted to play with that. From what I can see, he's good at his job, Eve continued. Maybe a righteous asshole when it comes to being caught doing something wrong or with an estranged wife, but he's worked his way up at Image Works to partner. I couldn't find anything that said other than he can be a jerk, but he's pretty much a law-abiding professional with some skill in his chosen field. Peabody lifted her shoulder. I couldn't find any real dings. It doesn't mean they're not there. Pack it in for the night. Are you? Pretty much. I think I'll swing by the Schuberts on the way home, poke at the husband a little. I might get another angle. She tilted her head when she heard the oncoming prancing she recognized as McNabb. He bopped into her doorway. Hey, Dallas. Peabody, you off or on? Just going off. Me too. We can go home together. I got some data from your Vic's home, Minnie, LT. I'd have had it earlier, but I got pulled off on a hot one. Just got back to this a couple hours ago. He offered Eve a disk. Report? What's interesting is the accounting program I dug out. It doesn't list names, just initials, but I did a quick cross with this client list, and there's plenty that match. Some repeats, some one-offs, and he lists amounts. It would look up and up if I didn't know what Peabody told me about how he took some clients for a ride between the sheets, at a cost. He's listed them as private massage or trainer or consults, initials, dates, fees, and what I'm thinking is a rating system. Rating? Eve repeated. Hey, some guys are shits. He qualifies. He's got some rated with stars. 1 to 3. I figure he rated the clients on, you know, performance. Scumfuck, Peabody muttered. Wouldn't say otherwise. Then he leaned in, whispered something in Peabody's ear that made her flush and giggle. You just said some crap about there not being enough stars or something equally full of it. McNabb only grinned. What can I say? I'm a romantic, not a scumfuck. Go home. Get out. Scram. Both of you. See you tomorrow. Party! Peabody did a quick jig in her pink boots, then dashed. Alone, Eve turned the disc in her hand. It would wait, she thought, until home. It wasn't much of a detour, and Eve wanted to tie off, or at least shorten, as many loose ends as she could manage before the party, the weekend, the whole crazy Christmas extravaganza sucked up any time for work and reality. Once she parked, she joined the sidewalk traffic. Those headed home, those headed out, those hauling shopping bags and likely on a self-imposed forced march to another retail outlet where they could accumulate more shopping bags. Thank tiny birthday Jesus she was done with that part. The Schubert townhouse sat within spitting distance of Martella's sister's brownstone. Still, the relatively short distance put it in a more active section where Eve imagined street artists set up during the day, and the snug outdoor spaces a few restaurants boasted likely did yeoman's duty in good weather. An actual voice responded to Eve when she buzzed at the door. May I help you? Lieutenant Eve Dallas, NYPSD, to speak with Martella or Lance Schubert. One moment, please, Lieutenant. It took hardly more before a woman with toffee-colored skin and icy blue eyes opened the door. She wore her golden brown hair in dozens of thin braids all gathered into a tail and made simple black pants and white shirt look glamorous. Please come in, Lieutenant. I'm Katiana Dubois, Mrs. Schubert's social secretary. May I take your coat? I've got it. If you'll come with me. She led the way left through the foyer. Everything bright and fresh, with those tall-stemmed red flowers Eve couldn't remember the name of, grouped together in abundance on a long table. Into a spacious sitting room with more bright and fresh, in bold colors, silvery trim, and a tiny fireplace simmering in the wall. The tree centered in the window. Angels flew on its branches and shimmered in its tiny white lights. Under it, elegantly wrapped gifts, artistically arranged, added more color. The Schuberts will be right down. Can I offer you something? Coffee or tea or hot cider? The cider sounded tempting, but she hoped to make it quick. No thanks. Please sit. Be comfortable. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? Katiana said as she noticed Eve studying the image of Martella in miles of frothy bridal white, caught in the arms of a striking man in formal black. Great-looking couple. They are, and still very much like the newlyweds you see there. Lieutenant, I don't know if it's appropriate or necessary, but I'd like to tell you I knew Trey Ziegler. Not well, she added quickly when Eve turned to her. Part of my benefits is a membership to Buff Bodies. I didn't work with Mr. Ziegler. I don't use a trainer, but I attend some classes when I can juggle them in, and I often use the facilities in the early morning or after work, so I knew him a little. Did you ever sleep with him? Katiana winced. You're direct. But I suppose that's best. No. He didn't appeal to me in that way, which, from what I sensed, was the exception rather than the rule. I didn't like him, and I didn't like that he hit on me, subtly but unmistakably. Maybe someone else would have taken his offer of a free trial as a trainer as a courtesy, or a way to drum up business, but to me, it felt too suggestive. I can't say he crossed any lines, but he brushed awfully close to them, for me. And when he brushed too close for my personal comfort, I told him to piss off. You're direct. Katiana smiled. I can be. I tried to be both firm and discreet, but I thought I should tell you in case I wasn't as discreet as I assumed. He didn't like my reaction. And when one of the women I often took a class with asked me out, and my reaction was surprise, she was embarrassed, and told me the word was I preferred women. It happens I don't, and it was easy to trace the rumor's source. To Ziegler. Yes. I let it go. It didn't matter to me. I wasn't looking to start any sort of romantic or sexual relationship at my gym, so it didn't matter. And he left me alone. I assume he believed the only reason I turned him down was because I was inclined toward women. But then... She trailed off as Martella and her husband came in. I don't want to hold you up. Can I get you anything before I go? She asked Martella. Why don't you finish it off? Eve looked at Katiana, then her employers. Any problem with that? You're telling her? Martella asked. You should tell her all of it. Tell her, Kate. All right, thanks. I'd rather finish it off. I wouldn't have thought anything, or not much of anything of it, Lieutenant. But after... In brief, a couple weeks ago, the man I've been seeing for a while stopped by the gym. I was meeting him for breakfast between class and work, but he came in just as I was coming out of the locker room. I guess it was obvious we're involved, as several people asked me about him the next time I went in. They're still in the glow stage, Martella said. It's sweet. It's still new, Katiana said. I had a massage booked that week, end of the day, with my usual therapist. But when they called me out of the relaxation room into the massage room, Ziegler was there. He said Lola, my usual, wasn't available, so he was doing my massage. He offered me some tea. I declined, and I said I'd reschedule. Why? Bottom line? She moved her shoulders in an elegant sort of shrug. I didn't want his hands on me. It was as simple as that. So I walked out, got dressed, went home. That was a couple days before he was killed. I wouldn't have thought anything of it, just an annoyance, but... I told her everything. Martella groped for her husband's hand. I told Katiana and Lance everything about what happened, about what you found out, about... He was going to do it to her. You said when you contacted me this morning, he'd put something in the tea. Lance Schubert, just as striking as his wedding photo, drew his wife close to his side. His eyes, hard as stone, held Eve's. That's rape. It's no different from sexual assault. No, it's not, Eve said. If he hadn't made my skin crawl, and it was as simple and as visceral as that, I'd have gone ahead with the massage. Katiana rubbed her arms, then sighed, leaned in a little when Lance put an arm around her in turn. I'd have tried the tea. When Martella told me, I realized he wasn't just annoying, wasn't just someone who made me feel uncomfortable. He was a predator. I don't want to get in the way of what you're here to talk about, but I thought I should tell you. I appreciate that you did. It was his pattern, and your instincts were good. Walking out kept you from being another victim. I didn't walk out. I let him in. I'm so sorry, Lance. Stop. He angled to press his lips to Martella's hair. Stop. I'll leave you to talk, Katiana began. Stay, please. Can she stay? Martella asked Eve. I've told her all of it. Then she told me. It helps a little.
It's up to you.
Why don't we sit? Let's all sit down. Lance led his wife to the sofa, kept her hand in his. Mr. Schubert, you're aware that the deceased, Trey Ziegler, administered an illegal substance to your wife without her knowledge, and while she was under the influence of same, raped her. Schubert's smooth, handsome face hardened.
Yes.
And when did you become aware of these circumstances?
This afternoon.
Katiana contacted me, told me I needed to come home as soon as possible. I came home by 1:30, and Tella told me what had happened.
I thought I'd cheated.
Tears swirled in Martella's eyes.
I thought I'd cheated on Lance, and I couldn't understand how I could have. I tried to tell myself it was just an awful mistake, just sex, and at a weak moment, but it made me sick inside. Then you contacted me and told me there'd been something in the tea, that he'd put something in the tea he'd given me, and...
She fell apart, Katiana said. I was here, and when she got off the link, she went to pieces. She told me everything, and when she was calm enough, I told her what had happened with me. I gave her a soother and got in touch with Lance.
You also worked with Ziegler, Eve said to Schubert. You had no indication prior to today of this incident with your wife?
None. I wouldn't have thought of it, considered it.
I knew something was wrong.
You've been trying too hard, he murmured to Martella. I knew there was something, but I never considered...
If I had, if I'd known what he did, I'd have killed him.
Lance!
I'd have killed him, he repeated, his voice stone cold, a mirror of his eyes. I'd have beaten him to a pulp with my own hands. I wish I could.
She's naive, kind, trusting, he said to Eve.
He took advantage of all of that, and the fact that we'd had a stupid fight, and I went out of town on business before we'd resolved it. He raped my wife. I'd have gone after him, and I'd have beaten him into the ground for it. Did you go to his apartment? I don't even know where it is, but I'd have found out. No, he corrected, fury alive in every word. No, I'd have gone to where he works, where he's so proud of himself, where he preens and struts, and I'd have taken him apart in public, humiliated and hurt him the way he humiliated and hurt my wife. He raped her, then he extorted money from her. I didn't kill him, more's the pity, but I'd shake the hand of the person who did. I should never have let him come here. I shouldn't have... You're not to blame. Schubert turned his wife toward him, took her shoulders gently. You're not to blame for this, for any of it. He drew Martella in, looked at Eve. She's not to blame. No, Eve agreed, she's not. There were others, Martella. We're finding a lot of others. They're not to blame either. Chapter 10. She let it all circle in her mind on the drive home, hoping she'd find a solid place for a theory to land, but the ground remained too soft. Too many people, she thought, with too many motives. Alibis that she imagined could be toppled or at least shaken with enough of a push. Maybe it was the season of goodwill toward men, not that she'd found that ever held fast, but with Ziegler, ill will seemed the primary emotion. And damn it, she felt some ill will of her own. She wanted to shut the door on the investigation and the killer, tie it all up so she could enjoy the festivities, the holiday, the lights, the tree, the time with Rourke. Throughout her childhood, Christmas had been empty or painful, or just lacking. A day other kids rushed out of bed to tear off paper and ribbon and find shiny dreams realized. Until she'd been 8, her best gift had been if her father had been too drunk to knock her around. Or worse. And after she'd killed Richard Troy to save herself from the or worse, she'd been no one's child. A foster, an add-on, a token. Part of that was probably her own attitude, she admitted as she drove through the gates. But she'd had pretty bad luck in the system. State school had been bland and gray, but easier. But now, she had home, as bright and shiny as it got. She had Rourke, the epitome of all gifts. And for reasons that often baffled her, she had friends. More than she sometimes, most times, knew what to do with, but they'd added dimension to her life while she wasn't looking. Thinking of her victim, of what he'd done to fill his own life, she found herself grateful for what she had. Even when she walked in and saw him, Somerset. Sort of. The cat pranced over to her, jingling all the way. She supposed it had been Somerset who'd added the bow and bell to Galahad's collar. She'd have said something snarky, but the cat appeared to enjoy the adornment. "The first team of decorators will be here at 8 a.m. sharp," Somerset informed her. "They'll begin in the ballroom. A second team will arrive by 10 to complete work on the terraces. Catering arrives at 4 in the afternoon, and wait staff at 6 for a run-through. Other auxiliary staff will arrive by 6:30. "Okay." "Your stylist will arrive by 6, giving her 90 minutes to deal with you. You'll be finished, prepared to greet guests at 7:55. "I don't want 90 minutes, for God's sake, with Trina. Who needs 90 minutes to get ready for a party?" Eyebrows raised, Somerset looked down his nose. "The arrangements have been made. The schedule is set. The gifts you brought home are wrapped, labeled, and under the tree in the master suite. What you've had wrapped, or are in the process of inexpertly wrapping for Rourke, remain in the blue room. Her eyes narrowed. What were you doing in there? My duties. Do you want the rest of those gifts wrapped and brought down to the tree in the main parlor? I'll do it. Her back stiffened. I know the rules. I'm supposed to do it. There's still time. Just stay out of there until I'm finished. Flustered, she shot up the stairs with the belled cat jingling after her. She hadn't forgotten Rourke's gifts. God knew she'd squeezed her brain to putty to come up with things the richest man in the free world wouldn't have and might want, but she'd mostly pushed aside the reality of wrapping them up. Now she had to do that, order decorators around, deal with Trina, make nice with the house full of guests, and, oh yeah, close a murder case. Maybe she could hire someone, not Somerset, to finish wrapping Rourke's stuff. It wasn't really cheating if she paid. People did it all the time, didn't they? In fact, how did she know Rourke personally, physically wrapped up whatever he got her? Stewing over it, she marched into the bedroom where Rourke stood pulling on a steel gray sweater. Do you wrap my gifts yourself? He finished pulling on the sweater, shook back his hair, eyed her. Isn't that what elves are for? Why would I put good, enterprising elves out of work? That's right, she jabbed a finger at him. That's fucking A right. I'm glad we agree. Where do you get the elves? Each must find one's own. He walked over, caught her face in his hands, kissed her. Hello, Lieutenant. Yeah, hey, let me ask you something else. I'm here to serve. What's the first thing you'd do if you found out I'd cheated on you with an elf? A sexy buff elf. The first thing? Yeah, go with the gut. I'd toss you out on your ear, naked, as I'd have burned all your clothes along with the rest of your belongings. Reasonable, she thought. What if things were reversed financially, and the big bulk of the dough was mine? He flicked a finger over the dent in her chin. What difference does that make? You'd be naked on the street, weeping as you begged for forgiveness that would never come. Harsh, but fair. Amusement lived in those wild blue eyes, but she seriously wanted that gut instinct. Okay, what if you found out I'd been duped, slipped in illegal so the elf could bang me without my consent, but without my objection as I was under the influence? I would beat the elf into elfin ooze immediately and mercilessly. Then, acid, I believe, he said after a moment's thought. Acid would be the final touch, poured liberally over the ooze. Nice. With your fists? The beating into ooze part? Do I love you? Yeah, you do. She gave his chest a light punch. Sap. Then it has to be my fists. He put his hands on you. Mine have to be on him. Yeah. Yeah. She sat, pulled off her boots. Yeah. They love each other. Who are they? The Schuberts, Martella and Lance. The Vic Doster, and he's on my list. But he's down the bottom because, yeah, I think he'd have confronted Ziegler if he'd known. I think he'd have hunted him down like a sick dog, and I think he'd have gotten physical. But not the grab-a-blunt-object physical. If he'd known she'd rolled with Ziegler, whether or not he'd known about the date rape drug, he'd have used his fists. That's how he strikes me. Still, I have to consider. She got up to dig out thick socks. She's the sister of another of Ziegler's marks. Though the sister, Natasha Quigley, was willing and paid for sex. I don't like the husband, Quigley's. He's got a wussy, entitled thing that rubs me wrong. I can't tell if it's just that, or if he's sending off bells.
But I want a good dig on his financials.
Ah, playtime for me. It would help me out if you've got time for it. Why don't we have a drink, some food, and you can tell me more about it? Her first thought was to get everything down, write it out. Then she realized she might have it more concise after rolling it around with him. Works for me. Oh, I nearly forgot. We got a Christmas present. She dug into her coat pocket, took out the box. From Feeney. He warned me his wife's made us a bowl, but this is from him to both of us. I find his wife's pottery charming. Yeah, I know, since you actually find places for it, instead of accidentally breaking it or hiding it in some dark closet. Go figure. But I think you're really gonna like this. He opened the box, took out the glass, and simply stared at it. I had the same reaction. He said he wanted us to have it, to remember, to be able to see it when things got heavy. He said he was really proud of us. And like that, I didn't really know what to say. It means a great deal, Rourke murmured. A very great deal that he'd do this. Think of doing it. I know. And he got that. He said he thought we should keep it at home, because if I put it in my office, it was sort of like bragging. Rourke's lips curved. Trust Feeney. I figure he's right, that it should stay here. And I thought, not my office, not yours, because it's ours together. I thought maybe it should stay in here, because this is our space. Especially ours, I mean. Yes, especially ours. After a glance, Rourke moved over to a table in the sitting area, set the gift down. How's that? It's good. She joined hands with him, started out. The cat raced ahead, ringing cheerfully. Did Somerset put that stupid bell on him? I put that stupid bell on him. You? She shot him a stunned glance. Seriously? It was a weak moment, Rourke admitted. Give him a bit of the festive, I thought. And now he's ringing like a mad thing, most of it on purpose, to my mind. He's enjoying it. The bow, too? I said it was a weak moment. I had to put in several short appearances at a number of office parties today. Obviously, it lowered my resistance. How much did you drink? She wondered. Not at all, but I will now. In her office, he opened the wall slot, chose a bottle of wine. A good hearty red. How about a steak? All the mingling between meetings meant I missed lunch altogether. I'm starving. I could go for steak. It's the first thing I ever ate in this house. Why did I remember that now? Holiday sentiment. I love you. He set the bottle aside, stepped over to gather her in. It's always lovely to hear you say it. I thought of it today when I was listening to, watching the Schuberts. They love each other. I could see it, clear as water, because I can feel it all the way through me. So I don't think they're involved with Ziegler's murder, which is stupid because loving each other doesn't mean one of them didn't bash Ziegler, then shove a knife in him. But you don't think so. I don't. But I'm a little worried about that holiday sentiment. I never used to have it. A byproduct of having love and home. He drew her back. And life. I guess so. I'll get dinner. No, you deal with the wine and I'll get dinner, or else there'll be nothing on the plates but steak and potatoes. Why does there have to be anything else? Because I love you. Yeah, yeah. But she opened the wine, poured for both of them. Let me tell you about Martella's social secretary. As they sat, she went over it from the start. I believed her, Eve said. There was something so upfront and clear-eyed about it. And still, it's so damned convenient. No way I can prove or disprove what she told me, and it lays on the pattern, gives Martella, even the husband, some cover. And still you believe her. Do I just want to? Maybe I'm losing my cynical edge. Never. Laughing, he toasted her. You're a cop through and through, Lieutenant. Your cynicism and your instincts remain solid. To me, the story sounds plausible, and slides right into the pattern of your victim's behavior. She's attractive, this Katiana. A stunner. More a stunner than her employer. And I got no vibe, not even a sniff.